Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. I'm your host, Garrett, joined with Brad and Wade.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, that was like a simultaneous thing.
We're becoming linked, oh dear God.
Oh, dear Lord. I come out. Screw it.
Our minds are becoming one.
Join us.
We missed you all last week. We slightly apologize, although we kind of feel it was a service to you. Brad's still on his very long vacation, which we'll get to shortly. And
hiatus.
I
believe they call it hiatus in the community.
I think you were on strike, weren't you? Let's call it what
I was
it
otherwise
is.
Employed.
And we didn't really have a whole lot to really address with you, and we didn't want to completely bore you. So we opted out. But we're back, and the gruesome threesome. We'll start with Brad on what will prove to be an excessive abundance of personal shenanigans.
No kidding. Well, where to start? So I took 2 weeks off work, hence why the disappearing act on my part.
Then stood as we've in mentioned, the front of the complex waving signs saying...
Hence
more pay.
More yes, I want more pullers. Pay. I want at least a 300% pay raise. Can you work on that for me?
Yeah.
And more cable pullers.
So we've discussed before that we are in the process of relocating.
Yes.
So week one of our adventure was a trip to our new location, the greater Atlanta area, looking at the different suburbs. We did get to see some houses, but the trip was not about specific houses as much as it was, neighborhoods and suburbs and figuring out the different areas and where we would like to live. So on that front, it was a grand success. I have to say I'm a little disappointed by the real estate agents. We had one lined up before we went down. Told him, hey, we're only in town for the week. He said, great, here's 50 houses. Tell me which ones you like. So we went through one by one and picked out, I want to say it was like 7 or 8 of them. These ones really fit what we're looking for. Sent them back to him. Never heard another word until we had come, seen, and left. And we finally got a message from him going, hey, so did you want to see those houses? It's like, last week would have been good.
Yeah. Yeah, when we told you we were in town, that's kind of what we were looking for.
Kind of what we were going for. So, needless to say, we are not working with him. We did contact another couple agents that never bothered to get back in touch with us. Finally, we found one that was absolutely happy to help us out. She got us into 3 houses. Kind of got an idea what we were looking for, understood what we were doing. You know, we're not ready to buy right now. We're looking at areas. She goes, not a problem. I don't see why nobody else would work with you because now you know that I will work with you. You're going to work with me. Yes, I didn't make anything off touring you around this time, but I will next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
pretty much. So that was the majority of it. Week two was spent mostly preparing our house for sale. A little bit of landscape, repainted practically every vertical surface in the house. General cleanup and listing. It is listed. We've had a couple visitors. Nothing yet, though, which, considering it's only been, 4 days, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hit or miss. When we bought our place, I actually found it on a pre-listing on a Friday morning, looked at it that day at lunch, had an offer on it that evening, had a confirm on the offer the next morning.
That's
so
rare.
Ours went really, really fast, and that's definitely one extreme of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
There are ones that sit on the market. Sometimes it's because sellers are unrealistic in what they want out of it.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the agent not, spending the time to do what they need to do.
I put $400,000 into this house, and I bought it for $600,000. I want $1,200,000. No.
$1,200,000? That would be $1.2 million.
You know what I mean.
The point was still fair.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, well, according to market research, we're right in the ballpark of where we need to be for similar-sized houses in our area, and they're not sitting. The houses that are sitting are the ones across the road in the Gulf community that are, you know, quarter to half million dollar.
And that's big for your area.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, lots of painting. Oh, my goodness, painting. Don't want to see another paintbrush for at least, I don't know. Well, when we move, we're going to paint again. So,
most likely.
On the movie front, I will just mention this. We can get into it a little more in movies. We did see Pixels.
Yes,
you did. And Minions. I think we've talked about Minions before, but we did see Minions and we did see Pixels.
Yeah, I know that we had talked about Minions when Wade and I saw it, and I'm not sure if we readdressed it after you saw it or not.
Okay.
So we'll touch on it again. It's fine. On this end, let's see, this past weekend, Saturday was a little calm, a lot of errands running around, and then Sunday, every month the city we live in, they do a free concert in the park. And usually it's cover bands, and then you get some older band that comes in plays. One of the ones we saw was Flock of Seagulls, for those who know them. I didn't.
No idea.
And I was, you know, I appreciated free music, but I wasn't invested.
Sure.
We did that again Sunday. We had a good time. It was, I forget what the band's name was. Kind of a late 90s semi-rock, almost had a more of a country feel to it because the lead singer was also a violinist. So you had kind of a violin. They also had an organ. So it was really kind of an interesting sound.
Yeah, interesting combo right there.
More folksy than I think really rock, but it's fine. And then we got another one in August, so that'll be fun. The weekend prior to that, I think it was martial arts testing for my daughter and I think.
How'd you do?
We did well. We are now in the world of Taekwondo under the ATA parent organization. We are now blue belts. We're about 7 tests away from black, but they test every couple months, so another year or so from a black belt.
That's not as much as I would have thought.
No, but a lot of people who are not familiar with martial arts think that black belt is kind of, you know, you've mastered it. And yeah, really, it's the furthest from the truth. You know, getting to black is supposed to teach you and establish the fundamentals. And then you really start to understand more of the martial arts from a movement, from a mindset, from all that kind of stuff at black, so to speak.
Congratulations. You know the basics. Now let's get into the advanced class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a gal with us. She's a 3rd degree black belt, of which she acquired 8 years ago. And I think she's kind of been on and off practicing. So she's just retained that. But she scares me because she can do the splits laterally.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, it's the splits, right? Then she can roll forward, keep the soles of her feet on the ground. So her feet are flat and then the ankles are pivoted at 90 degrees. And then she's laying down forward looking like she's comfortable enough to take a nap.
Some people are just flexible.
I think she's made of cartilage. I don't know.
And then her eyes turn all black and her voice gets really deep.
I will suck your soul. No thanks. But not much else I think to talk about there. We didn't see any movies the past couple weeks. I don't think. Oh, Wade and I saw Ant-Man.
No.
No. My daughter and I saw Ant-Man last weekend. So we can touch on that. Cool. Yeah, I think that's all I got.
All right, as for me, well, finally got a furnace for my budding new hobby. blacksmithing, which is basically...
Awesome.
Yeah, it's basically... Well, it is a stripped-down barbecue. It spurred to it when we were headed out to do errands. What was it, Saturday? Yeah. Yep. And stopped by... We noticed that a neighborhood was doing like this mass yard sale.
Yeah, it's like a community wide. I guess it's an annual thing, and like everybody is doing like a garage sale throughout the whole neighborhood. It was kind of cool.
Sure.
And so I stumbled upon a guy with a box of hair dryers for like $5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are going, why would you buy a hairdryer?
For his luscious flowing locks, of course.
Yeah. You know, Samson over here. Anywho, it's how you actually have a furnace, is that you have an airflow in the furnace itself, which makes it allowed to get extra hotter. To maintain a popular...
You have many much good English today.
I know, it's...
Essentially, you allow better breathing for the fire, and it allows it to get to a hotter temperature.
Yeah, it keeps the coals hot.
It's the modern replacement for the bellows, right?
Yeah, it's exactly.
So, picked up a hairdryer for $5, and then perfect.
Sweet.
Speaking of that yard sale, one of the main reasons we stopped is that the same guy had a hat tree. And I had been thinking about building one. So we pulled up, and I asked him, and he goes, $10. I'll do it for $8. Sweet. I'll give you $8 for it.
Which then Garrett was like, hey, can I borrow $10?
Well, Wade said he had cash, so I bought him lunch after. It's fine. Stop crying. I don't carry cash with me, because then I buy it on stupid stuff, like hat trees. I buy it on...
Unfortunately, probably won't be able to get to any kind of fun little arts and crafts and mess with it until Friday.
Well, you need to find a way to hook up the blower to the barbecue, too.
Yeah, probably need some, like, stainless steel pipe or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if shower vent will work because you're blowing air through it. It's not pulling the heat back into that pipe, so I don't know if even that would work. You know, like the corrugated dryer hoses?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Some people use metal, like plumbing metal or copper
stainless
pipe.
Stainless steel pipe.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just like he said.
You know that thing you said that you were right about saying? That one.
Yeah, just go with that.
Got there by taking the long route.
Shut up.
So even, I mean, it was... a pretty dead two weeks for me, but I did actually just get back from a full day stupor of just hanging out with friends and work.
Wade did not come home last night.
Yeah, hang out with some friends from work, played with our vape pens, and there
is
had
that what we're calling it these days.
Yes. With what's it called? And they had their box mods, which allowed them to throw out clouds of smoke.
Vapor. It's not smoking. It's vaping.
Which would even make you jealous. Anywho. So
he already is. That's why he's correcting everything.
Yeah.
He's just jealous.
If I can't compete, I will be accurate.
Which then they allowed me to crash at their place, then continued on to work today, and then...
Hilarity ensued.
Yeah. So, I mean, cool. It was fun. Kind of, you stayed up late, you know, you always feel that drog at the end of the day, at that second day. It was just go, why did I do this? Oh, wait, that's right. Fun. It was fun.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worth it.
So speaking of vape,
yes.
We had talked about the pipes in the past.
Yes.
And I had stumbled upon a guy out of the greater Atlanta area. I think it's actually Lawrenceville or something like that. And he handcrafts wooden pipes. E-pipes. Now he only, I mean, what he sells is just the bowl section of the pipe and many different styles. Upon stumbling on that and wrestling with the idea, I have since upgraded from the Ego-style vape pen to now what is considered a mechanical mod. Mwahahaha. So, nice little wood bowl, runs a decent battery in there. They do make these really cool fuses to help protect the vapor. But the little e-leaf tank I was running just wasn't enough. So on Friday, I had picked up a new tank and have been pretty happy with it, actually. Although, Monday I had to stop back into the vape shop because I was getting kind of a gurgly draw, like a very wet pull. And they said that that's a result of the coil getting flooded. And so I replaced the coil inside, and it's been smooth since.
Marvelous.
So...
you have embarked on the bottomless pit.
Yes and no. I'd like to think that I'm done here.
Anyone still remember the drone he was building?
Yeah, I know, right? Shut
up. We're not talking about that right now.
So I've seen the pattern before. Here's what's going to happen. We're what, 150, 200 bucks in. We're going to drop... I'm going to predict probably another 100, 150. And then in about 4 to 8 weeks, we will never hear about it again.
Screw both you guys right now. Listen, just because I'm what is it?
Yep.
Tongue-tied?
Obsessive, yeah, impulsive. Yeah. Just because I have OID, leave me alone. No, I'd like to think that I'm done here. I can't really go to anything crazier on the tank because the battery with the fuse in there won't really handle it.
Sure.
And since it's a single battery, unless I go to a whole new battery unit, I can't do anything with that. So, I don't know. I'd like to think I'm good here. What about you, okay. Mr. Esig? Master?
Yeah, so I'm kind of satisfied with my off-the-shelf, non-fancy. There is a certain appeal to me from the prop value, I suppose, to having the e-pipe. But not enough to pull the trigger on at the moment. I'm just kind of happy with the store-bought, you know, El Cheapo disposable. Well, it's not really disposable. The cartridges are disposable, but the battery is rechargeable. And,
just don't do it off your computer.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you get viruses.
We've talked about this.
Small. You know, it's small. It's portable. It's kind of cute. So.
It is interesting because, I mean, the three of us now all have vapes. And yep. The three of us have never really smoked. I mean, I... casually smoked a cigar here and there, but it was very few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us are supplementing legit smoking with vape. It's more just kind of a recreational sort of deal.
Yep.
So it just, you know, someone who was looking for a strong nicotine hit to help subsidize the cigarette would maybe, you know, keep progressing because they're always looking for that harder hit or, you know, whatever, unless they're trying to taper down. So,
sure.
You know, we're kind of a different group altogether.
Yep.
Well, very good. Let's jump into some movies. Unless, of course, you have anything else you want to talk about.
No, carry on.
The movies. Movies.
Sound effect again.
It's for dramatic effect. Pause.
The first time was just a dry run.
That's right.
Practice. Oh, look, the sound worked. Okay, let's do it for real now.
Okay, so the movies. So we'll try to be quick on this one because I want to touch base on last week's stuff as well. So last week's releases were Pixels, that was currently not rated at the time, but I think is down around 20 to 40%. Paper Towns, I forget what that one's about. That had an 86% rating. Southpaw, which is the boxing Jake Gyllenhaal movie, at 46%. And then a couple of other kind of no names. Unexpected, an indie film at 90%. and then the Vatican Tapes, which was not rated. In the box office last week, we had Ant-Man at 57.2 million, Minions at 49.3, Trainwreck at 95, no, that's 95%. I think that was probably give or take 20 million, and then Inside Out pulled in 17.7.
Wow, that's surprising for how long Inside Out's been.
Yeah, it's got a good run. It really is a good movie. I mean, we recommend it.
It is.
There's actually, I've heard that they use, like, the characters, or they have, like, figures of the characters for people who can't speak to show, like, what they're feeling. It's like, this movie.
People that are, that's kind of cool. Like,
this movie has, like, brought in new ways of dealing with mental issues. Like, wow.
That's pretty
cool. That's awesome.
Oops, sorry.
So coming out this week, we have Mission Impossible Rogue Nation at a surprising 90%.
Holy crap.
Why is that surprising?
It's like the fifth Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah. You know?
I figured it would, you know, kind of go downhill
after a while. He just makes one when he needs money.
And, well, we'll see how this does for him. This is rated PG-13. It is, of course, Tom Cruise, Vin Rames, Jeremy Renner, a.k.a. Hawkeye, and Simon Pegg, a.k.a. Scotty for the Trekkie fans, or a multitude of other stuff. He's very busy.
Wasn't Jeremy Renner also born?
He was, yeah, after the Matt Damon born one. He was born, whatever it is. Legacy, I think it was?
I think so.
Yeah. So with the IMF disbanded and Ethan out in the cold, the team now face off against a network of highly skilled special agents, the Syndicate. These highly trained operatives are hell-bent on creating a new world order through an escalating series of terrorist attacks. Ethan gathers his team and joins forces with disavowed British agent Ela Faust, who may or may not be a member of the Rogue Nation, as the group faces their most impossible mission yet.
Until the next one.
And until the IMF is then reinstated and blah, blah, blah.
So, I have to admit a certain
jealous love affair?
Formulaic boredom with it. Again, reversing position on my defense of it just a moment ago. Look, I'm going into this understanding that it is a mindless... what's the word I'm after?
Testosterone-driven?
Yeah.
I was just going with the words
here. Not quite where I was going with that. It's a mindless indulgence. Look, I've enjoyed the Mission Impossibles. I'm certain I will enjoy this one. But it is feeling a little formulaic that, you know, why was the IMF disbanded? I mean, seriously, there are no more impossible missions anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
Pretty sure we can find some.
They did, the Rogue Nation.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of created one.
Disavowed? Wait, didn't they do that in the last two?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on Mission Impossible
movies. Hey, guys,
movies.
You know what would be a good idea? Let's destroy this super secret agency that whenever we do it, another terrible super secret agency attacks the world.
Yeah.
Let's do it a third time.
Yeah.
But I will probably go see it. It's on my to-watch list.
There you go. At 90%, it should be at least entertaining.
Yes. Which is what I'm looking for.
There you go. Number two in the list this week, Vacation, 28%.
I took one of those.
Rated R. You did. This is with Ed Helms, who you'd recognize from the Hangover movies, Christina Applegate, and Chevy Chase. Ed Helms plays Rusty Griswold, the son of Chevy Chase's iconic character of the original films for this reboot / sequel. That's pretty much all Rotten Tomatoes had to say about it.
I didn't know Christina Applegate was still acting.
Apparently she got pulled out of the retirement home.
She's not that old.
Damn.
Jeez.
That's grandma. No, wait. It's not.
The last two are probably going to be harder to find. Actually, three. Although one of them is right down our alley. But that one's not this one. Number three in the list, End of the Tour, rated R, starring Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg, along with Joan Cusack. This movie tells the story of a 5-day interview between Rolling Stones reporter David Lipsky and acclaimed novelist David Foster Wallace, which took place right after the 1996 publication of Wallace's groundbreaking epic novel, Infinite Jest. As the days go on, a tenuous yet intense relationship seems to develop between the journalist and subject. The two men bob and weave around each other, sharing laughs and also possible revealing hidden frailties, but it's never clear how truthful they are being with each other. Ironically, the interview was never published, and the 5 days of audio tapes were packed away in Lipsky's closet. The two men did not meet again. The film is based on Lipsky's critically acclaimed memoir about the unforgettable encounter written following Wallace's 2008 suicide. Both Segel and Eisenberg reveal great depths and emotion in their performances, and and it's directed with humor and tenderness by Sundance veteran James Pansolt. Very wordy.
Very wordy. Limited release, I'm assuming.
I don't see this being out everywhere. Although, again, 92% critic rating. So, what's interesting is that I don't know really much about either one of these individuals. And the synopsis doesn't really tell me much about the movie. Like, it's a 5-day interview, but about what? You know, like, what's the content they're talking about? I have no idea.
Sure.
Number 4. Here you go, Brad. You'll like this one. A Lego Brickumentary. No, I did not make that up.
Yes.
Rated G. Since the birth of their trademark toy in 1958, the Lego group has produced over 400 billion take-a-shot bricks. But more and more, Lego
take
bricks
400
aren't...
shots.
That's right.
Oh, God.
I just don't even want to think about that right now, actually.
I'm just thinking
getting
of the
wasted
like,
tonight.
The what from, well, J-A, and as Jack, and I want to say the last part of that word, where the guy gets hit by like 20,000 gallons of water. Now I'm just envisioning it as like tequila.
Okay, but more and more, Lego bricks aren't just for kids, and some take them very seriously. Adult Absolutely. Fans of Lego around the globe are unashamedly declaring their love of the brick. Brick artists are creating stunning and surprising creations. The Lego master builders are building human scale and larger structures. Lego bricks are being used educationally, therapeutically, and have provided a universal system for human creativity and our inner desire, quote, to build. This documentary playfully delves into the extraordinary impact of the Lego brick, its massive global fan base, and the innovative uses for it that have sprung up around the world. Speaking of innovative uses for Lego,
yes.
I saw a quick little article last week that...
Isn't that awesome?
It happens. Where they were working on prosthetic arms for kids.
Yes.
That would sync up with Lego motors and they could like build their own prosthetic attachments.
It was a extension of the Lego Mindstorm.
Yes.
Robots.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Brilliant.
Okay. And I'll do one better. Just recently, a kid got a double arm transplant.
We're not talking about news. We're talking about Lego.
Screw you. It's amazing.
That is true.
It
I
is.
Saw Absolutely. A headline for that. Lost his at least hands due to a disease, I think, or exposure, something like that. And it was the first double hand transplant. And they said when the kid awoke from surgery, like not even a whimper of pain or discomfort, and is seemingly to be recovering very, very well.
I mean, that is amazing.
No kidding.
Science is awesome.
Yay, science.
finally in our movies this week is Extinction. Currently not rated.
Gee, I wonder what this is about.
Rated, no critic rating, rated R. I always get those confused.
Huh, this one's not even on my list.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an extremely limited release. But it was on Rotten Tomatoes, so I figured I'd talk about it. For nine years, so Pat... What?
Let me just interrupt you there. You say it's an extremely limited release, but that doesn't answer why it's not on my list, because I have a movie that's coming out called Jenny's Wedding that is supposedly opening on, count them, 2 screens.
That one's not on my list.
Interesting. Okay, carry on, please.
So for 9 years, Patrick, Jack, and his daughter Lou have outlasted the zombie apocalypse by shutting themselves off in the snowbound town of Harmony. The monsters have seemingly disappeared with no sign of other survivors, but the constant fear of the unknown is starting to take a toll on this makeshift family. When Patrick goes scavenging for food, he discovers the undead have returned and evolved into something terrifying beyond imagination. Will the last breath of human race survive a second zombie apocalypse?
An evolved zombie apocalypse. An
evolved beyond imagination.
Turns out they just ate all the brains and became sentient and like human again. It was just like, oh God, this is horrifying.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Bob. Hi, Phil. So yeah, very, very limited release there. For the box office this past week, now we talked about the week prior, now this past week, Ant-Man pulls in number one at 24.9 million, Pixels sharp on the heels at 24 million, Minions 22.9, and Trainwreck at 17.3.
Yay.
was waiting for Brad to take up the helm with Pixels.
Crickets,
but, you know,
crickets. Hey. Oh, right. So, Pixels. You guys did not see it, correct?
Correct.
No.
Oh, dude. Okay, so.
Complete and utter crap?
It is not.
Oh, really?
Again, I would put this in the category of mindless indulgence. It is not a very deep film. You're not going to come away, reflecting on the meaning of life.
You don't want to do that. Watch Chappie.
Watch her.
But.
That too.
It was very fun. I'm not giving anything away. I'm only going to talk about what was in the trailers, so no spoilers here. Essentially, we get invaded by video game characters, and it was a great, fun, funny movie. There were plenty of funny parts. Adam Sandler is kind of hit or miss, I found.
In this movie or in general?
No, in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has done some phenomenal stuff, and he's done some stuff that just makes you wonder why.
Yeah, he did some really good stuff like Hotel Transylvania and the second.
I mean, that was
hopefully
animated, though. I mean, typically the movies he does, though, are his own works. Like, what was the one he did with the families? Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2? I heard those were not awesome. So,
well, this, in my book, is one of the hits.
Okay.
This is not a deep movie. You're not going to ponder the meaning of life, but it was a lot of fun. There were some good laughs. There were some that the children will not understand, and that is perfectly okay. It's a great fun film. I'd say go see it.
I will take that into consideration.
A couple,
I was trying to think where I was going with that. A couple of notable appearances for listeners of our other podcast. Tyrion Lannister and Eddard Stark star in this, being Sean Bean and Peter Dinklage.
I know Peter plays a pretty strong role. Is Sean pretty solid role too? Or is it kind of, he pops up here and there?
No, Sean is definitely a background role.
Okay.
You see him more towards the end of the film. Spoiler alert, Sean Bean does not die.
That's two movies in a row.
It's you know what?
Breaking the mold.
I'm starting to have a problem with this.
Yeah, somebody needs to review his contract.
Who didn't poison the keyboard?
Pretty sure he was supposed to die in every movie he stars in.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened there, but he does not die. But yeah, it's just a small part, nothing crucial or integral, but it was nice to see him and see him not die. But Dinklage's role is fairly major. He is a definite good co-star in this one. It's definitely Adam Sandler's film, so keep that in mind. Everything that goes on is, you know, backing up Sandler's character. But
sure,
he's the hero. Dinklage has a good, he is the hero. But Dinklage has a good co-star role, so a lot of fun. Go see it.
Fantastic. As previously mentioned, I went and saw Ant-Man with my daughter. I was kind of on the fence with it, but she wanted to see it, so you know, usually don't have to twist my arm very hard to go to the theater. We enjoyed it. My daughter enjoyed it. There was one character who didn't need to be there. The Hispanic guy that was kind of, it was buddy of Paul Rudd's primary character, but he was really very annoying and to the point of being distracting throughout the film. But aside from that, I mean, it was entertaining. It's not, you know, I don't know if we're starting to become jaded by the superhero factor, especially the Marvel stuff, especially the Iron Man stuff, you know, where a suit enables somebody to do this or that. It was an interesting story. It was entertaining, and it leads up to, you know, the compounding Marvel universe that they're building.
Is it becoming too much? I mean, I know you guys are Marvel fans, and I have, you know, very clearly stated in previous episodes, I'm not. I'm not opposed, but I'm not a fan.
No, I'm a sure. anything that's good fan.
Sure. Okay, fair enough. I guess my question is, we're starting to see some exploration of minor characters.
Well, not necessarily, though, because Ant-Man was a founding character of the Avengers in the comic book world. Okay. He was a pretty key character.
Okay.
But all right. For whatever reason, he wasn't key enough for them to make him a primary focus in the first iteration of movies. I'm not sure the politics behind that one.
Sure. Okay. That I was not aware of. I thought he was a minor character because, you know, I kind of feel like DC's going the same way as well. We're getting a couple major stars with the Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
But we're also getting the minor stars with Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but even in Batman vs. Superman, you've also got Aquaman, you've got Wonder Woman, and you have The Flash.
Right.
I don't know if The Flash will be presented as The Flash, but if you look at the casting list, there is a Barry Allen character cast for the movie. So
interesting.
Yes, although that has never been mentioned, like, and everything I've heard. I was just looking through the cast one day. And I was like, oh, look, Barry Allen. Okay. So The Flash will be in this. Well, that'll be interesting.
Too quick for anyone to notice.
That's right.
He was there in all the clips. You just, it was too fast for you to see him.
You couldn't see him.
All the photobombs.
But to answer your previous question.
That is how they get around paying his royalties.
That's right. But to answer your previous question on if it's getting too much, I don't know if it's getting so much, being that it's too much, but it feels like we've seen most of it already. You know, Iron right. Man was quote unquote groundbreaking. It was that shock factor of, you know, it was a fantastic movie based on a comic book world that wasn't Batman. You know, Batman's been done 5 million times.
And Superman.
Superman's only been done a couple times, really. You had Superman Returns. You had the prior to Man of Steel, you only had a couple fairly recent ones. Then you had the Christopher Reeves one way back in the day.
Right. So, he started out as a TV serial, though.
Yeah.
Long time ago, back in the black and white days. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just...
Meanwhile...
I think we are... We've been impressed by it already, so to be impressed by it again is hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Last episode we did this, I was very clear on my, like, can we just get this going, please?
You know, it's starting to feel like Marvel and potentially DC, depending on how some of their stuff goes, that they see they're making money now and they're, you know, they're betting all the pot on the current trend.
They're milking
the cow until she dies.
Yes. And then they're going to be standing there going, well, now what do we do?
Can we get some powdered milk out of this?
I thought you guys liked it. It's all your fault.
Yes. No, I mean, the movie was enjoyable. It was well done. There was kind of a pseudo plot hole at the end of it that was, I mean, they kind of sort of explain. I mean, didn't really explain, but had it work in the movie, but I don't know, kind of not. And it's kind of the same feeling I had with the Terminator. There was something that happened there, and I was like, okay, but is it? Well, I don't know. You know, like, just with what they tried to say and then what they showed, not everything totally jived for me.
Sure.
So I had one of those moments kind of at the end, but overall it was enjoyable.
So, question to sum this all up. Woohoo. It seemed to me like this was a superhero version of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Well, that's kind of Ant-Man's MO. So, maybe?
Okay.
I mean, we know in the synopsis that the main character is a thief. And then how he... So the movie goes into how he becomes Ant-Man. And what he does and why he does it. Because you're actually introduced to the character as he's being released from prison.
Sure.
It's like the opening scene of the movie. So, you know, there's a lot of conflict with what he's having to do and why he's having to do it.
Okay.
So I'll leave it with that. But yeah, I think that does it. Oh, Minions. Did you want to touch base on Minions?
Just very quickly. We've kind of milked the personal and the movie section.
Yeah,
I liked it. We're at 42 minutes in.
Yes, we are.
We're sorry.
And we've still got 16 articles to go.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the news. I liked Minions. Not as much as I thought I would. Definitely liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it. It was amusing. It was funny.
It fell a little short, though, didn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. And I can't quite place my finger on why.
I think a big thing for me after looking at it is that some of the funniest parts with the Minions in the first two movies, Despicable Me 1 and 2, was an interaction of the Minion group as a whole. And in Minions, after about the first 3 minutes, you're only looking at three of the Minions for the whole rest of the movie. And so you're limited by the interactions that you're allowing your audience to see because you've narrowed the population so drastically.
I would say there were some funny stuff, but now that you point that out, a lot of the funniest stuff were when they flash back to, you know, whatever the tribe was doing.
Yeah. The whole group, you know, they were playing tennis or volleyball and then falling asleep because they were bored and yeah.
Yep.
They have all of them coming out of the ocean and one realizing, oh, I'm not wearing anything.
Yeah. And he goes, gets the sea stars. I mean, it was the subtle nuances between the mass population that I thought was really, I appreciated because it showed that it wasn't just a copy paste job on the, you know, designing and writing standpoint.
Yep.
But then you only give us three to work with for the whole rest of the movie. I mean, I'm going to... That's why I said when, you know, we had seen Inside Out and then Minions. Not that we didn't like Minions, but for what Minions ended up being, I would definitely recommend people seeing Inside Out over the Minions.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Again, mindless entertainment, which I am a big fan of. But if you only had the time and or money to see one, I'm with you. Go see Inside Out.
Yep.
So, okay. All right, enough said.
Enough said. On to the news. I think.
Maybe.
There it is.
There! Oh, where to start? It's been 2 weeks for me, and a lot has happened. So, we're going to try and get through this. Big news from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Essentially clarifying and eliminating the application of certain parts of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Oh?
Yes. Now, those that have been serial listeners to our podcast will know we have covered the DMCA before and the big mess that it creates. Specifically in the in its application to free use. And, fortunately, that is exactly where this ruling comes in.
Ooh.
So, it was a lawsuit between a UPS company, an uninterruptible power supply company, and General Electric. The case wasn't really didn't really apply specifically to consumers, but the judge, in handing down his decision, worded it in such a way that does apply to consumers. So the easiest way for me to explain this is there is a section of the DMCA that says that it is unlawful for you to circumvent copy protection. It's illegal to reverse engineer the encryption. This has been used in some prosecutions of DVD copying cases because okay. DVDs are generally encrypted.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
that are. Flies in the face of the copyright law itself, which has a fair use clause in it that says that, you know, as long as you are doing this for your own personal use, you're allowed to use it in whatever form is most practical for you.
As long as you're not monetizing.
But until you start trying to turn it into a business and make it profitable, then you're...
Now, see, the copyright law is actually silent on profit.
But
which
business.
Is where... Well, this is where peer-to-peer torrent sharing gets in trouble. I'm not making any money off of sharing it, but you're not authorized to have it.
Sure.
So that's where that comes in. So... It has been illegal under the DMCA for me to make a copy of a DVD, even if I've purchased the DVD, because to do so would require breaking the encryption on the DVD, which is trivial. They did a really crappy job of implementing the encryption. It is so easy to decrypt.
I've heard that. I have no first-hand knowledge whatsoever at all, none.
I do from an academic standpoint.
I did not inhale. So...
The ruling states that was handed down from the Fifth Circuit this last week that the anti-circumvention provision only applies... now, how do I word this so it makes the most sense? It only applies if the end result would have violated copyright law. So, if I make a copy of a DVD... to give to you, the end result of my actions is a violation of copyright law, right? You're not authorized to have a copy.
Agreed.
You didn't buy it. I did.
Correct.
Me sharing it with you is a copyright violation. Therefore, the anti-circumvention provision of the DMCA would come into effect. I have violated both laws. I have hacked a DVD to give it to you.
Yes.
I'm in trouble under both laws. Now... If I am making this copy of this hypothetical DVD because I want to watch it on my iPad and my iPad doesn't have a DVD player, so I need to crack the DVD and rip it so I can put it on my iPad. Because the end result is legal under the Copyright Act, right? It is fair use. I own the DVD, and I am watching it on my device. The anti-circumvention provision is irrelevant, and I am not in trouble for breaking the encryption. So because I am copying it for my own personal use, the anti-circumvention is irrelevant, and the natural fair use provisions of the original copyright law fall into effect. And so I am not in any trouble.
So essentially they're using the copyright law as the primary guidelines. Anything that voids that is then subjected to the Fair Use Act.
Correct.
Okay, makes sense.
Which is awesome. This is the way it should have been.
I agree.
So, yay. Let me see if the judge is listed in here. Judge Garza. So, kudos to Judge Garza. Thank you very much for clarifying that. It's about time.
Sweet. Wade, what do you got?
Well, during the past 2 weeks, we had a bit of an issue with a voice actor. This particular voice actor, I believe, was... Actually, I lost his name and we had it up here, but... he did make a tweet basically commenting, using Caitlyn Jenner's name. Where we have it?
Troy Baker?
Yeah, there we go. Troy Baker basically posted up a tweet that said someone who looked like Mickey Rourke trying to be Caitlyn Jenner. And this caused a storm some people that I actually kind of have an issue with. But this guy is in a lot of games. I mean, he is...
Yeah, he did voice in The Last of Us. He's done Bioshock, Batman Arkham City. Arkham Knight. He does Harvey Dent, Two-Face, and Jason Todd. He did a voice of the Velociraptor handler in the Jurassic World Lego video game. Marvel's Avengers Assemble. He did Hawkeye, Loki. He's got 230 acting credits to his name.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's quite a established video game voice actor.
Sure. Diablo 3, he did Linden, the Scoundrel, whatever that is.
The Scoundrel? Oh, yeah, whatever that was. He was Booker DeWitt in Bioshock Infinite, by the way. So yeah. he was the main protagonist.
So I guess I don't understand. What's the problem?
Exactly. Yeah. People were considering that anything that was not positive to basically Caitlyn Jenner's image was deemed as transphobic and problematic and all issues.
So if you don't just blanketly accept and are positive for Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner, you are then automatically labeled as the opposite.
Yeah, if you do not post something in a positive light about a certain subset, such as the trans community, the gay community, or the female community, you are transphobic, homophobic, you know, sexist.
Let me just say for our fans, be glad this is a PG-13 podcast, because I have some thoughts that are not suitable.
Well, I mean, without a whole lot of knowledge here of what's going on, I guess my comment is that she, he, they, whoever is being referred to does good things and does bad things.
Well, it wasn't that he was going around defacing Caitlyn Jenner. You know, it was a joke. And he didn't even write the joke. It was just retweeted.
Nice. It sounds like the whole political correctness movement is going a little overboard.
And this caused him to basically say, you know, I quit Twitter for, you know, and he'll most likely be back after after he calms down and whatnot. But I mean, this kind of just, I think he was, I forget what that word's called, trending. He was trending for like 4 hours just because of these people just continuously commenting on, you know, how problematic his view is and how he's a homophobe. And this continues on to a popular YouTuber that I watch, Total Biscuit, who, when he had cancer and he was he's a pretty outspoken person for Gamergate. While he was in treatment for cancer, these people were making death threats on his wife, his son, his family, his friends, saying, you know, kill yourself, and doing all kinds of nasty things. But yet, when it turns around and to them, they say it's harassment. But if they do it, it's the ends justify the means.
It's advocacy.
Yeah.
Whatever. So essentially, a voice actor retweeted a quote-unquote insensitive tweet, and
it's a bad joke. I understand
a bad joke tweet that was taken wrong and caused havoc.
But the justice police, the moral justice police, didn't like it and pursued to dogpile him.
Beautiful.
Well, I mean, if it was inappropriate and, you know, offensive, then apologize and move on.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
Yeah. But within reason. I agree with that statement, within reason. You know, we can't be walking around on eggshells with every word that we say because somebody might hear it or react to it the wrong way. You know, freedom of speech is there for me to say whatever I want to say within reason.
Doesn't mean it should be said.
You know, doesn't necessarily mean it should be said, but at the same time, I shouldn't have to feel like that liberty is in jeopardy because somebody may be overly sensitive to a topic or a group or a statement or whatever.
I mean, these are people who were basically telling Total Biscuit, I hope the cancer gets you. It's like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
There, I think there's plenty of insensitivity on both sides.
Fair. speaking of justice, the internet has erupted over the past week over Cecil the Lion. If you haven't heard about this, you're living under a rock. Global outcry as a Minnesota dentist was identified as the man who killed Zimbabwe's beloved Cecil the Lion. He reportedly paid $55,000 to hunt in this area. The article makes it sound like he spent $55,000 to deliberately hunt this particular lion. I don't necessarily think that's accurate. But either way, he had reportedly spent over $50,000 on this venture. According to what happened is that, first of all, Cecil was in a national park, Hwange, I believe it's pronounced Hwange National Park, which is there to keep the animals safe. You're not allowed to hunt or anything like that on animals that are on the grounds, so to speak. But there's no structure there to keep them in. You know, they can wander outside the borders, whatever. So according to the article that he and his guides had lured Cecil away from the national park grounds. He then shot it with a crossbow, which didn't kill it. They then tracked him for 40 hours while the lion had a crossbow bolt stuck in it to shoot it with a rifle to finally kill it. And then Cecil was ultimately skinned and beheaded. I understand hunters want their trophies. You know, I guess once you killed it, what else are you going to do? But people talking about death threats have sent death threats to Walter Palmer, who is this dentist. People have blown up his business's Yelp page. Again, he's a dentist. I saw some reports that they were giving it high stars for the business so that the business would increase its status on the Yelp reviews, so to speak, its ranking on Yelp. But all the comments were obviously negativity towards this hunting situation. But ultimately, the final business rating was 1 star at the end of all this. So, pretty gnarly. Palmer was forced to close down his dental practice and shut the blinds at his office. He has not attempted to stop people from leaving stuffed animals and notes in memory of Cecil. Celebrities such as Jimmy Kimmel, Ricky Gervais, Olivia Wilde, and many, many more have spoken out against this, quote, horrible act. It's been documented that Cecil was wearing a GPS collar. He was part of a research project for University of Oxford. It's claimed that once he was killed, the collar was removed. And at the same time, it was supposedly they were trying to hide it when they took a final picture, but you can still see it in the picture. In 2006, Palmer pleaded guilty to killing a black bear in Wisconsin outside of a permitted zone. So he's got a little bit of a history. He's had 3 years of probation and paid a $3,000 fine for that. And currently about 400,000 people have signed a petition on Care2 demanding justice for Cecil. And I believe Zimbabwe is calling for essentially the U.S. to, what's the word? What's
expedite? The word?
Extradite.
Yeah.
There we go.
Him to Zimbabwe for justice. Now, Palmer has released a formal statement saying, and I quote, this is all word for word, I hired several professional guides and they secured all proper permits. To my knowledge, everything about this trip was legal and properly handled. I had no idea that the line that I took was a known local favorite, was collared and part of a study until the end of the hunt. I relied on the expertise of my local professional guides to ensure a legal hunt. Again, I deeply regret that the pursuit of this activity I love and practice responsibly and legally resulting in the taking of this lion. So not that he's sad he killed a lion. He's sad that he got caught killing this lion. You know, this definitely wasn't an accidental kill. The only kind of gray area was, did he have any idea when he sighted this lion in that it had a GPS collar, that he was luring an animal off of protected ground? You know, what are the underlying truths to what's going on here?
That'll be interesting to see as this develops because, you know, there is the possibility that he is being completely honest. He paid for a permit to hunt a lion and relied on the locals to, you know,
do what
essentially
they do.
Facilitate that, yes.
Yeah.
And that he had no idea which lion it was. He's not from there.
Sure.
It was a lion. That's what he paid to hunt. That's what he had a permit for.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I agree.
You know?
And I think I'm not trying to defend him, but I am at the same time. You know, it's not illegal to hunt lions in the area, provided they're outside of the national park or the animal park.
Apparently.
And they're not on an endangered or protected species list unless I think they're a certain subcategory of lion. There's the general group, and then there's certain very rare kind of sub lion species. So all that sounds like it's all in the up and up. You know, and like you said, if he truly is went there and said, I want to hunt a lion, I need to go through these steps. Okay, I did that. And the guide says, there's one, but we have to get it over here to make it legal. And he says, okay. You know, on one hand, you can't fault the guy. I don't agree with the whole practice of hunting big game just to hunt it.
Agreed.
You're not doing anything with it other than, hey, look, I killed a lion. And from my understanding, based on what I've heard, hunting a male lion is not difficult. They don't fear you. They're not going to run away from you. If anything, they see you as prey, and they're going to come even closer to you.
It wasn't a challenge.
Exactly. Whereas hunting a deer that has heightened prey instincts, any sound, any smell, and it's gone, that's a tougher hunting experience. So, you know, I don't agree with the general practice. I hope that he's telling the truth and he just got caught killing the wrong animal for his sake. But even if that's the case,
I hope he gets caught.
If it was deliberate, he deserves to get caught. The question then is asked, if it wasn't deliberate, should there be consequences?
I don't think it should be legal to hunt any big game.
Okay, I agree.
Let me finish. Unless it's like they are encroaching on, you know, this is going to be kind of hard to explain. They are a threat to humans. Now, and you could completely reverse that thing and saying, well, we're becoming a threat to them.
Yep.
Which is then they become a threat to us, but
it's our fault.
Yeah.
It's like going swimming in the ocean and blaming the shark because you were in the ocean.
Yeah.
Don't go in the ocean.
But I mean, if it's like a Jurassic Park scenario where it was the animal was killing for sport, not, you know,
I agree. There's a movie called Ghosts in the Darkness with Val Kilmer, and he visits a African town, and there's a group of lions that are hunting humans for sport. It's a fantastic movie. I recommend it to watch. It's great. I agree with you that I don't think it should be legal. However, right now our understanding is that it is legal to kill a lion. The question is,
I don't agree with that.
If he killed, but it's the law. You can't disagree with whatever because, you know, it is what it is.
I can
you
may disagree not like it. With it, yes.
You may not like it. It is what it is. The question is, if it's found that this wasn't, he didn't intend to kill this particular lion, should there still be consequences?
For the guides.
Yeah, for the guides that knowingly lured the animal outside of the protected grounds. Yes. I mean, this guy was told, and it does sound like I'm defending him here as well, but, you know, you can only get so much information until, you know, you have to make up your mind. He was told that everything was on the up and up, and that was that.
Sure. Okay. I'm torn. I'm conflicted with Wade's views. I don't think it's right to hunt them in general, but as far as we know, it is legal. And if he did not know that this lion was special, then it's big game hunting. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. But it sounds like it's legal, and therefore there shouldn't necessarily be consequences, like you said, to him.
That's a very
or the guides who would have more knowledge, they should be punished. If he did knowingly kill this lion and deliberately did it, then there should be consequences to him.
Yeah, and it's a very hard thing to go around because you could be like, well, that was Bob the Water Yak. And like, oh, I didn't know that. And
this animal was studied by Oxford, and he had a GPS collar.
But you know
on.
What? I was using it as another example, where you know someone else you know goes out and does the same thing, but you know he's specifically there to hunt that particular animal. I'm not saying he was, as far as I know, but you know the defense is, oh, I didn't know it was that particular animal when they did know.
Just so the one of the things that I had read from some conservationists about this is he didn't just kill one lion. Essentially, he killed dozens.
Okay, because, that's an issue.
Well, because this was the main lion, right?
Yeah, he was the pride. He was the pride.
He was
leader.
The king of the pride. In killing him, there is now a power vacuum in the pride, and the most senior males that are left are now going to fight to figure out who is the king of the pride.
Yes.
And whoever wins, from what I was reading, apparently then goes around and kills all the cubs of the former king.
I believe I've seen some documentaries and they say the same thing. They're trying to, you know, preserve their own lineage, so to speak.
Yep. And do so away with the previous ones. All the ones.
Cubs that have been fathered by a different lion.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Not directly.
Okay, not directly. Directly, he's responsible for one.
Yeah.
But right. It has thrown the entire pride into anarchy.
Okay, but my flip side of this coin is that if any lion had challenged Cecil and won the challenge, which they do all the time, the same actions would have happened.
Very true.
So, you know, that's a group going to the extreme going, yes, because he killed this other thing will happen. Mm-hmm. Yes. However, it's impossible to say that other thing wouldn't have happened in 3 months anyway, whether this guy killed Cecil or not.
True.
So, I mean, that's, you know, it's like saying, you know, it's like those movies where they go back in time and they step on a bug and they come back to the future or the present time and everything's different because of the chaos effect.
Yep.
Hold on to that logic and you better never breathe because that air could have gone to somebody else. And now because you took their breath, they got one less breath that so on and so forth. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous statement. It has some truth to it, but it's also...
Gee, thanks.
It's also, well, it's not your statement, though. You're regurgitating from others. But I don't necessarily agree that that's a point people need to hang their hat on.
Hang their hat on, no. But it is still a point that, you know, he has caused a lot of damage.
Sure.
It's the shepherd's crook, I think, is a better reference to that.
Okay. Fine with that. Do we want to wrap it up there?
No, let's go on.
Okay.
He's like, I got 15 more articles. No.
Are you kidding me? We're just getting started.
I'll be back in an hour.
We're just going to hit mute on our things. We're going to go up for some popsicles later.
Public service announcement, and then we can wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
This in from FCA, which is Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, I believe the A stands for. A vulnerability has been discovered in the head unit, as it's called, which is the radio, essentially, the entertainment system.
Correct.
This affects 2013 through 2015 vehicles, where they were vulnerable to an over-the-air attack. A proof of concept has been developed. It will be presented. That's why this is more of a public service announcement right now. It is going to be presented at the Black Hat Conference, which is in a week or two, I think. So we'll cover this again. But the research group, a couple guys, essentially figured out a way over the air, because these cars have cell phone connections, to do whatever Chrysler's version of OnStar is, where they can remotely access these cars from their living room anywhere in the country. And because of the vulnerability in the head unit, they can jump over to what is called the CAN bus, which is the car's computer bus. And they can access just about everything. They can disable the brakes. They can remotely control the throttle. They can change the radio station. They can change the climate control. They can access the windshield wipers. And there was something to do with steering. They can override the transmission, and I believe they can take over the steering, but only in reverse at the moment.
Interesting.
Horrifying. All
remotely. It's absolutely horrifying.
You know what? They never had this problem with mechanical steering and carbureted engines and...
Uh-huh.
That's it? We're going off the grid.
This is scary stuff, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. These researchers have found the vulnerability in Chrysler systems, most likely a similar vulnerability exists in pretty much every connected car nowadays. This particular one, FCA, Fiat Chrysler, is doing a recall of 1.5 million affected vehicles. Sorry, no shots there. Or thank goodness, no shots there. 1.5 million. Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Cherokees, Dodge Durangos, Vipers, Rams, Chrysler 200s. You name it, it's across the board. Bring them in for a software upgrade. And in good news, the cell phone provider for this network, which is Sprint, has proactively blocked communication with these vehicles due to the software bug. The connection port, the virtual connection port that you connect to do this, was left unsecured. Sprint is now actively blocking that. So that should mitigate this for a little while, at least.
I wouldn't say good on them. That's don't believe you should be praised for fixing a mistake after it comes out.
This is Sprint's network, and this port never needed to be secure up until this point, it sounds like.
Well,
every network in terms of cell should phones need to be secured.
A lot of have we not that learned that yes, in the last 10 years? True.
I was under a rock.
Yeah, no kidding. So props to Sprint for this. This was not Sprint's problem to fix. This was a bug in Chrysler software that left the car listening to connections on that port. Sprint is merely the conduit to allow connections. It's not up to them to determine whether the connection should be allowed or not. That's for the software to determine. However, so props to Sprint for proactively just blocking that and saying, we're not having this.
Yeah. I guess that's where I figured, and that's why I said what I said, because it sounds like it's a Dodge, Chrysler, Fiat issue.
Yes.
But Sprint said, hey, we see that we are involved in this, and we're going to do our part.
Yep.
Instead of just pointing the finger.
Right. Take action, good. But, just to expect, a reward or, of a praise for mismanagement, no.
I don't think expecting anything, but I can still praise them for doing it.
Praise to Sprint. Definitely no praise to Chrysler.
Yeah, where was their QA department?
Well,
it was being hacked. Their cars were in reverse. Like, what's going on? We can't get to the press conference.
All their records got wiped remotely. So this is an interesting age that we're coming into. None of these products have been built securely because nobody ever considered that was necessary. To your point, Garrett, that you just made. Now, again, we can sit here and say that's stupid, but it has not been necessary. We are now trying to make everything connected without regard for, the vulnerabilities of this.
Yep.
And the auto industry as a whole operates on an entirely different time frame to everybody else. I mean, we're talking about systems that take years to develop. In an unrelated vulnerability, there are car systems, entertainment systems that are built on Android. I want to say it's 2.3, whatever Gingerbread was. We're up into the fives now. But because the life cycle of the car takes so long, they're still, 15 versions behind. And that's just horrible because all the security vulnerabilities that have been found and fixed in later versions don't apply to these cars.
Yeah. Very, very scary.
It is extremely scary. So if you own one of these affected vehicles, definitely get to your dealer and have them fix it. Bad things can happen. The Black Hat Conference is coming up where this is expected to be demonstrated. The researchers have said that they plan to release the details, but the exact code required to get into the car will be withheld. They're not going to release a how-to guide.
Yeah, it's that encryption key.
At least that's kind of smart.
Yeah, yeah. So they have been working with Fiat quietly to try and get this resolved, and you know, now it's time to inform the community. So, public service announcement.
Very good. So get your cars taken care of if you're under that umbrella. And with that, we do, once again, invite you to like us at Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not. Follow us Twitter, twitter.com/, or actually, we're just at Abundance Not there. Let's not make that more difficult than it is.
Wow, where are you going?
Hey, it's been a couple weeks. A lot of stuff on YouTube. We've got many, many series coming out. I think there's 4 or 5 different series on the main channel right now, including Rocket League that just came out. So have a look at that. Wade, what's going on your channel?
Well, I'm trying to get back into some form of a routine here. The kind of a funny little story, actually, I was just talking to people at work, which I've been kind of chill my channel and us a bit. Two of the coworkers who lived together came back to me and said, oh, you know, you were pretty fun at that point. And then they were referring to the Outlast series that I was doing where a particular jump scare got them both to jump. I'm like, yes, doing my job. So it's nice. Kind of fun to, always kind of fun to hear when you get
feedback.
You know, yeah, positive feedback or just any feedback at all. Mm-hmm. People out there, anything?
There you go.
Feedback.
So,
Bueller. Bueller.
So touch base with us on those means, and we'll talk to you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.